Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. Acts 9, the first 9 verses. And it reads, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell from the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Verse 6. And he trembled and astounded, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither eat nor drink. Here Saul was persecuting the church, but Paul on one occasion thought this was something that he was supposed to do on behalf of the Lord. He thought that's what the Lord wanted him to do, but yet he was wrong in what he was doing. In the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter, and verse 1, we find where Paul makes the statements to the council, and he thought he was right at one point. And it reads, And Saul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He came to the point and let them know that he thought he was right back then, but he was yet wrong. Amen. And in verse 4, there was a divine speaker, which we know was Jesus. But Saul was shocked and realized of his horrible crime that he was doing, because the voice was of Jesus. He is one with which one must follow. So a lot of people make mistakes today in this life. They think they're right religiously, and in reality, they're wrong. And the greatest example in the Bible to us today is the one of Saul, who thought he was doing right and thought that's what God wanted him to do, and he realized he was wrong. So everybody, regardless of the status in life or what they do or the job they hold, everybody can make a change. Everybody can change. And we simply titled this A Great Change. And in this great change, we will have a relationship. The greatest relationship anyone can have. And we have a great relationship with Christ. And the only way we can obtain that relationship, we must be in Christ. But a relationship is the condition or fact of being related. here this morning, those of us who are Christians, we are related. We're related by the blood. Amen. There might be some here related by association if they're not a member of this congregation. They may be kin to someone. In Ephesians 5:8, we read these words. For ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are the light in the world. Walk as children of light. When are we to walk as children of light? After we obey the gospel and we are put into Christ, we are to walk as children of light. This is a 24-hour-a-day thing, 365 days a week. We are to walk as children of light. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, we find these words by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to walk as light and be light. When somebody see us, we who have obeyed the gospel, they should know that we are Christian. If they don't know we are Christian, how come they don't know? If they don't know, we are not being a very bright light. We are being dull in the sight of God. And God does not want his children to be dull. There is work that we must do that we call ourselves Christians. There is work involved. Plenty of work. And going through the last week and last month, we need to do a whole lot of work. Because the world out there is confused. And the world is messed up. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, we read, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Are there new things in your life since you have become a Christian? This is something that ought to be done on a daily basis to the best of our ability. If we find the time to do something for the Lord, we ought to do it. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We want God to always be with us. We always should have the ability to grow in Christ. To be reconciled with Christ is to establish a close relationship. We should all have that close relationship to Christ and to God and to the Spirit. And one way to do this is to study. Verse 21 of the same chapter read, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are we the righteousness of God in him? That is the question one must ask himself. And this relationship that we are searching for, or should have, is a personal relationship. No one can do it for you. You must do it yourself. Ephesians 4:29, still talking about this relationship. There are some that I work with each and every day. They say there's nothing wrong with cursing. Nothing wrong with it. Everybody do it. I tell them, no, everybody don't do it. I said, I don't do it. And I can show you a whole lot of people that don't do it. And I was speaking of Christians. We don't curse and we don't say anything we want to just because we can. If we get mad, if you want to curse, hold it to yourself. If man don't hear you, God will. Years ago, it's been years ago. I think I did say a cuss word once. But it's been years ago. And I knew I was wrong. Nobody heard me. You know what I did? I ask the Lord for his forgiveness. And people might not think nothing about it, but we're supposed to be Christians. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So if we say something to people around, we ought to say those things that they can gain something from it, that they might learn something from it. But we shouldn't just speak out of the top of our heads just for the speaking of it. Christians have put on a new man, a new person. This is something every Christian should do. In 1 Peter 1:5, we find these words. But as he which hath called you to be is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, when you have a conversation with someone, act like the Lord is there with you. And if you are a child of God, he is there. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is holy. There is no sin in God. God does not sin. God does not lie. And there is no lies found in his word, as so many claim there is. Some people even claim there's contradiction in the Lord's word. There's no contradiction in the Lord's word. We might not understand something, but there are no contradictions in God's word. In we'll go to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And we find these words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we do something, we talk about the God's word, we cannot say God said something if his word doesn't specify it or in some way proclaim it. We must speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. For man's ways is not the way of God. If we want to know what God wants us to do, we must find it in his word and do it. And if we find it in his word, we can do it and teach it. But there is a relationship we have with God to all those who have been put into the body of Christ by baptism. For a long time, I didn't understand what Luke 9:60 meant. For a long time, I didn't understand what it meant. I asked myself, how can somebody dead bury somebody? If you're dead, ain't nothing you can do. But Jesus was talking about spiritual death. In a sense, you might watch a movie, The Living Dead. They do exist. They do exist. In the King James Version of the Bible, Jesus said in Luke 9:60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And in the ESV Version, it says, and Jesus said unto him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. In other words, preaching and teaching the gospel is more important than anything. Jesus didn't say you can't bury your family member or what have you, but he was letting us know what's more important. It is more important to teach and proclaim God's word than anything else. In the book of Acts 20:24, we find these words. And this is talking about a portion of God's grace. Not all of it, but a portion of it. It says, but none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Here, this verse is talking about that the gospel is a portion of God's grace. In Acts 20:32, it says, and now I beseech you, and now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So here we see that God's grace, which is his word, will build us up and it will keep us connected to our Heavenly Father. But we must always study and do those things that God would have us to do. The Bible also talks about a new condition of being alive to God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and it reads, "And you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses." In other words, once upon a time we were dead to Christ, but he gave us life, and it was by his Son. Verse 2 says, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We once walked in darkness, but now we are the light of the Lord by the obedience to the gospel. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ." That is the privilege only given to those who have obeyed the gospel. It has been given to nobody else. So we should keep this relationship that we have. We have changed from the old life into a new life. And this is a daily thing. Every time we come to God's house, we should come here to wanting to grow, to be strengthened. And it's one purpose to come every Wednesday and every Sunday, or whenever the doors are open, so we can keep this relationship with Christ, and that we can keep relationship with one another, and that we can grow and be stronger. Then when we out there on the battlefield, we will always have something to fight with that would please the Lord. In 1 John 3:1, we find these words: "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." But the world should know who we are. We need to stand up and be a light for Christ. But sometimes Satan wants to put obstacles or things in our way. He wants to blind us. And Satan knows what everybody in here likes. Amen. He knows what all of us like. And he's going to put that obstacle in our way so we can turn our back on God. But the more we study, the more we stand strong in the Lord, we have something to fight with, and we won't yield to the temptation of Satan. And there are a lot of people that believe in God. And I tell them this: if you believe in God, you believe in Christ, even if you believe in the Holy Spirit, that puts you in the same category with Satan. That's all it does. Belief alone ain't never saved anybody. But there are a lot of people that I have talked to in the past, they feel because they believe in Jesus Christ, they are saved. They say, "Well, Jesus died on the cross for me," so they feel there's nothing they have to do. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does teach this about Satan. Thou, in James 2:19, we find these words: "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doeth well." It goes on to say, "The devil also believes and trembles." So the devil believes. Is the devil saved? I think not. He's not saved. So it goes farther than just belief. Did you know that hell was not made for people? Hell wasn't made for us. It was made for the devil and his angels, which is found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Hell is not made for us. It's made for the devil and all his followers. Because in Matthew 25:41, it reads, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. We should always change, but we should never change God's word. In Revelation 22, 18, and 19, it tells us, don't change God's word. But we know that Christ is our only creed, and Christ is all we need. We do have a great responsibility as being Christians. We also have a great relationship with the Lord, and we ought to keep it as such. Then every Christian has changed his affection. That is a tender feeling towards something or one another that you care for. Everybody in here care for something. We love certain things. But the Bible teaches us we should even watch what we love. We shouldn't put things before Christ. And some people do that, and they have their own gods. Our gods could be anything. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, we find these words. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. As was said in Sunday school this morning in Bible study, we have a lot of stuff. But when we die and leave this world, our stuff goes to somebody else. It's no longer ours. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. And it's certain we didn't ask to come here, but since we're here, we ought to make the best of it. We ought to make the best of this life. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Begin at verse 16. Because every day we get up, we have a fight. And our affection ought to be with the Lord. In verse 16, starting, it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And we would rather do that which is right as Christians. We should always try. Verse 18, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I say also to you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things of the flesh that we shouldn't want any part of, but we should hold to those things which are of the Spirit. But God wants us to walk with Him and walk by His side from day to day. He always wants us to grow, and He wants us to be perfect. Perfect not in the sense of never doing anything wrong, but perfect in obedience to His will, which is His word. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15 that we shouldn't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We can be in this world, but we shouldn't be of this world. For this world has nothing to offer us. And Jesus said on one occasion, His kingdom is not of this world. And we know his kingdom is in heaven. But he do have a kingdom here on this earth, and we are striving to get to heaven. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, dealing with affection. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, in other words, we ought to try our best to be what God would have us to be. We ought to transform ourselves. And the way we transform ourselves is change our mind from one state to another. And the only way to do that is with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when we love something, we're going to do it. That is for sure. So we ought to love God more than we love the things of this earth. We can care for the things of this world, but we shouldn't put them before God. And sometimes we just might have to make a sacrifice. There's a question that we can ask ourselves. Do we do things that we hate? That's the question everybody can ask themselves. Do we do things that we hate, or do we do things that we love? I would say everybody in here would say they do things that they love to do. Nobody does anything they hate. If they hate it, most likely they ain't gonna do it. But we do things we love. To make a difference, we ought to always make a difference in our lifestyle. And one way to do that is also, as said, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. To make a change, the nature or function of one's condition. The Bible tells us that we ought to take knowledge and add it to temperance, take temperance, add it to patience, take godliness, and add it to brotherly kindness, and take that and add it to love. This we ought to always do from day to day. There is a purpose for us. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, we find these words. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Everything that exists in this world came from God. Even though God doesn't need anything, but we do need God. Without God, we are helpless creatures. It is best to follow his ways and his path. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants all mankind to be saved. And the one way that we can be saved, and the only way that we can be saved, is by the obedience to the gospel. The Bible tells us that we must hear God's word. We must believe God's word. We must repent of our sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. And then we ought to live faithful for the rest of our life. And some people say there's nothing we have to do in order to receive salvation. They say, all I got to do is do what Jesus said. Well, according to the Bible, in the book of Luke 6:47, Jesus said we ought to hear. In the book of John 8:24, Jesus said you must believe. In the book of Luke 15:7, Jesus said we must repent. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said we must confess. In the book of Mark, verse 16:16, Jesus said we must be baptized. And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus said we must live faithfully. And Revelation 2:10 reads, fear none of these things which thou hast shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want that crown of life today if you're not a Christian? The only way to accept that crown is to be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. But as stated, we must do the other plan of salvation, the here believing, repenting, and confessing before the baptism. And after that, we live faithfully. So if there be anyone this morning who would like to put Christ on in baptism, or if you would like to come forth and make a confession, you may do so now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Yeah.